Job chapter 2. Verses 9, 10, and 11. And when you found that, would you just stand one more time with me as we read together from God's Word? And then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll talk to you for a little while, and then you go home and have some lunch. Job chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. You can read out loud with me. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God? Shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the blessings of this past week. Lord, this morning we ask that your Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts and minds, build us up in the most holy faith, edify your church, and Lord, if there be anyone in our building that is not born again, that they might come under conviction and that you might save them as they allow you to save them by calling on your name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In Job chapter 1 and verse 1, we are introduced to this patriarch of faith. The Bible simply says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job was a real character in the Bible. He was a real person. This is not a fable. This is not a story. It is not imagery. It is real. And Job is quoted by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Job is quoted by other writers of the Bible. And so Job is a real person. And it goes to show us that God's people, God's servants are everywhere. Chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us exactly where he lived. Even in spite of being a profane place, yet Job lives a godly life around wicked surroundings. This is the same was true with Joseph in Egypt, isn't that right? Joseph lived his life before the people in Egypt. He lived a God-fearing life. Lot lived for God in the middle of Sodom. And Job lives for God in the land of Uz. What it tells us is that you can live for God no matter what your surroundings, if you want to. Amen. If you want to, if you desire to. On the other hand, you could take someone and put them in a godly surrounding and surround them with godly people and surround them with all the good things. And if they're not determined to serve God, they still won't. Saddest stories you hear are stories of children that went to a Christian school sometimes. Parents sacrifice time and money at great expense to try and put their children in a Christian environment, and yet their attitude wasn't right. They had no desire to live the Christian life, and they went their own way and destroyed their own life. Well, Job had determined that he would serve God in an ungodly place, and so he did. And you can live for God in bad surroundings if you want to. Job did exactly that. And in spite, he was tested like all people are tested. All Christians get tested in their lives. Let's look this morning at Job the man. First of all, the Bible said he was the greatest in all the land as far as his faith. In Job chapter 1 and verse number 8, And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Yes, he was the best of the best. He had quite a testimony of his faith in God. And Job does become the particular attraction of Satan, as Satan looks over him and says, you know, I think Job would be like so many others if you would give him some problems. Right now his life is well, he's rich, he has friends, he has influence, he's popular. Why shouldn't he serve you? Why shouldn't he be happy? If you notice, verse 4, chapter 1, And Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yes, all a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. Job goes through a series of great trials where he loses his children. He loses the things that are dearest to him. He loses his cattle. He loses his money. He loses his ability to make wealth. And now Satan is given permission to touch his body physically with physical ailments. Say, why is Job going through so much? Well, one reason is because in order to try Job's faith, it takes deep trials because his faith is so deep. Some Christians have weak faith. It takes very little to test them. I mean, their test is, oh no, it's Sunday, should I go to church? And there's a battle. That's weak faith. It took great trials for Job because his faith was so deep. I mean, you think about it. His whole life was going through the grinder. And he gets struck with these boils on his body. And he's taken outside the city gate where sick people with no money go. Just like a lot of third world countries. And he's taken and he's put there. And his friends come to, so quote, encourage him. And all they do is aggravate him. They knew how to push his buttons. You got any friends like that? They know how to push your buttons, right? And finally, his wife shows up on the scene, and I can see his eyes. He's thinking, finally, I'm going to receive a blessing. My friends have been aggravating me. My friends have been really ripping me. And I'm sick physically. And my heart is broken. My children are just in the ground. They haven't been dead but a short time. And my world has come crashing down on me. Thank God. Here's my helpmeet. My dear wife. Oh, I'm so glad she's coming my way. First words out of her mouth. Job, can't you see it's not profitable for you to serve God? God has abandoned you. Curse God and die. Give it up. Boy, with friends like that, huh? What happened? She reached her breaking point. Amen? Job's faith is still strong, and his faith is greater than hers. And she reflects her faith being shattered by saying, Job, it's not worth it. Look where it's gotten you. So she gives him advice. Curse God and die and be done with it. And yet that's the attitude of a lot of people in the world, isn't it? They get to the end of life. They're miserable. They don't want help. They don't want to be helped. And what a sad way to go out from this world is to maybe take God's name in vain and give up the ghost. But Job says, I'm still trusting God. Woman, dear wife, you speak like the foolish woman over there in that village. that I'm still trusting in God. He's trying to tell her that they have had more joy than tears in their life. He's trying to tell her that we all go through life like others with trials. He's trying to tell her that this is our time now to go through the difficulties that our friends have gone through. He's trying to tell his good wife that we're up to bat now, and trials have come our way. We are not exempt from it. We've seen our friends face tragedy. Now it's our turn to face tragedy. We've seen others have disappointments that have shaped their life. Now it's our time for disappointments to shake our life. We've seen our friends suffer at times. Now it is our time to suffer. You know, the Christian is not exempt from difficulties. Amen? Amen? But the Christian has the grace of Almighty God that takes us through the difficulties, that sustains you when nothing else can sustain you, that gives you strength when nothing else can give you strength. And Job says to his wife, this is our time, but I want you to know something, good woman. I still believe in God. Boy, she just, I don't know what her response was. I mean, she comes on the scene real quick with a report, curse God and die, and she departs real quick. We read about her at the end of the book of Job where she has more children and she's happy again. But her first entrance is not a very good one for Job. All it does is cause Job to want to preach. And he goes on this sermon and says, God is good. All things are working together for good. I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust God. And the Christian, the one that has been born again, knows this to be true. And he knows also that the greatest blessing in life can never be taken away from them. You say, what is the greatest blessing in life?
Pepsi, no. We have been made for God to live in. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Eternal life can never be taken away. No matter what you go through in life, there is a bright eternity. And so we look at Job the man, as Satan looked at him, and as God said, have you considered my servant Job? We also notice that through Job, we see that the righteous are tried. The psalmist said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Maybe you're saying, why me? I've been a good Christian. Why am I sick? Why do I have illness? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Amen. We go through the same problems that everyone else does. I was speaking to Evangelist Dave Mizell yesterday, still going through cancer treatment, still going through problems physically. But you won't find a more optimistic person. I called him to encourage him. He ended up encouraging me. Amen. He's saying, tell all the people at Community Baptist Church, I feel your prayers. Keep praying for me. So he's in a life or death struggle, but he's not bitter. Yes, the righteous are tested. Just like the righteous in the Bible were tested. Abraham and Isaac, they were tested. In the same day. Anybody watch the Bible on TV, part one, part two? Pretty neat. Abraham is offering Isaac up as a sacrifice in obedience to God. And tears are coming down his face as the knife is raised, and he can't understand why God would want him to give up his only son. And as that knife starts to come down, God calls his name. And an animal's caught in a thicket. And he says, there's your sacrifice. Now we know a little bit of what God felt like when he gave his only son for our sins to die the cruel death of the cross. He didn't stop the sacrifice, did he? He allowed it to go through. We look at Job's trials. You know, if Job was here this morning, looking at Job chapters 1 and 2 and other portions of the book, he'd say something like this tonight. Can't eat a bite, can't sleep at night, the woman I love won't treat me right. And there he lies. Boils all over him. Lost his sheep, lost his oxen, lost his camels, lost his donkeys, lost his servants, lost his children. Now his own death. And his wife is breaking under the strain. His friends misjudge him and push his buttons and cause him to get aggravated to the point where later in the book he has to repent over his attitude. They went there with the good intentions and ended up arguing with him. In verse number 12 of Job chapter 1, we see that Satan is very limited in what he's able to do to God's children. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. This is prior to his children dying. But Job knew that his trouble was for a testing. In verse number 22, the last verse of Job chapter 1, our Bible says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He was able to bury his children. He was able to withstand the loss of all his wealth in a very short period of time, and yet he sinned not or charged God foolishly. What a great man of faith he was. Amen? Amen? Most of us would be pulling out our hair or our hair pieces. I'm waiting to see who's going to go like this. Nobody. Some days it takes very little to ruffle our feathers because sometimes we're very weak. And yet Job knew that he was going through the testing of God. In chapter 13, verse 15, in the midst of his conversation with his so-called friends, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That was his answer. Amen. He has great faith. Amen. Job 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job is still holding on to his integrity. He's still holding on to his faith in God. He's not having a pity party for himself. He truly believes in the sovereignty of God in his life and that this is for a reason. This is for a purpose. And even though he doesn't understand it at the moment, he's still trusting that God makes no mistakes. We'd not have this book if Job didn't lose his whole family, if Job wasn't permitted to be assaulted by Satan. We'd not have this wonderful book to encourage us. Think of all the millions of people that have been blessed by reading the book of Job and seeing the faith of this man. And how he responds to satanic attack in his life. And how he responds to people who mean well but push your buttons. Yes, he knew that he was being tested. And he said that when I am tried, I'm going to come forth as gold. Job somehow is acting very much like a Christian in the New Testament under grace, that we are told to believe that all things work together for good to them that love God to them who are the called according to His purpose. This morning, do you love God? Amen. If you do, everything's working out for your good. Amen?
Amen?
All things work together for good to them that love God. And to them, if you're a child of God, you are called for a purpose. If you didn't have a purpose, you wouldn't be here.
Amen.
You'd be home. I just received word that one of our church members went home. I don't think he's been a member more than a couple months. He's a veteran friend of mine. Probably most of you don't even, you wouldn't know him if I told you his name. But he started coming recently. And I believe he got baptized. He dedicated his life to the Lord. Last words he told me is, "I feel sick, I'm going to the veterans hospital." I was sending him postcards trying to visit him. Received word yesterday. Postcards are coming back, deceased. Just like that. Our life is very brief, isn't it, at best? Job knew that his way out of this life comes to all. And he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Yes, Job knew he was being tested. And he shows his composure under fire. His attitude is the right attitude. His attitude shows us that he is really a person of faith. He tells us that we need to acknowledge God when we have both smiles and frowns due to the providence of God. Job had received children from the Lord. He had received cattle from the Lord. He had received prosperity from the Lord. And all of it had been taken away. And he was still able to say, "I believe and love my God." Book of Job teaches us that life is a constant struggle of receiving and losing. Some friends come for a short time and they're lost. Sometimes pleasures come for a short time and they're lost. Sometimes even popularity comes for a short time, and that can be lost. Health can come for a short time and be lost. Come and go, come and go. But you know what? If you're alive, you got a reason to smile.
Amen.
It's another day above ground.
Amen.
Amen? Another day above the dirt. When the dirt comes, then it's over down here for the time. But he knew that he had to go through this experience to see God, that death comes to all. He was totally ready for death, if death was to come calling. And he fully expresses the nature of his faith. He says, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." You know, John tells us in the book of 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life."
Amen.
Christianity is a know-so thing. And if you don't know it, you don't have it. Knowing it, taking God at His word, believing in your heart, calling on Jesus, the Holy Spirit giving you confidence that you have been born again, that you are a child of God. Job fully believed in his own coming resurrection. And through his writings in this book, he's telling us that he was ready. I know my Redeemer liveth. He doesn't say, I think I'm ready. He doesn't say, I'm 99% sure I'm ready. He doesn't say, I'm trying to be ready. He says, I'm ready. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know I belong to Him. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about being born again. A no-so thing. I'm glad that God has given us a no-so salvation, aren't you? We know that we've passed from death unto life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Yes, we know. Lastly, we see that God once again let the sun shine on Job, on his back door again, after he stood true, after he even repented over his attitude towards his friends. Notice Job chapter 42 and verse number 6. He has long conversations with his so-called friends. Job 42 and verse number 6. He says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. And he's calling on God, and he's asking God to forgive him. He says he hates what he said, and he hates the way he's been acted. In verse number 10, he even prays for his friends. Notice verse 10. And as with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down? Oh, I'm in Psalms here. That's good preaching, though. Job 42, is that what I told you? Okay, let me go there. Job 42, let's see if this makes more sense. Verse 6. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Yes. He's getting his heart right. He hates the way that he has treated these people that came to, they meant well. In verse number 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Amen. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she-asses, and he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. You say, twice as much? Yes. Because he has 10 in heaven. Amen? And he has 10 now. And the Bible names the names of his children. And verse 16, after this Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being an old and full of days. Yes, Job goes through the fire of testing, and the end result reports that his faith sustained him. You know, you and I, we may not reach the height of Job's material blessings in this life, but we may also not reach the depth of his sorrow in this life. But God will give us enough grace to go through whatever it is that comes our way. So you're either in a valley today or there's one up the road. But life has its times of valleys and mountaintops to test us. And the next time that you're tested, or if you're tested this morning, you'll remember the servant Job and how much he endured. He was able to endure because of his faith in God and because of the grace of God that was upon him. And also remember that God is the potter and we are the clay. And he is molding us. He is making us into what he wants us to be. Let him have his way in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we humbly come before you this morning. And as we've considered Job, we considered all he went through and all he endured. We also consider the great faith that he had to sustain him. Help all of us to remember this morning that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Give us more of a love and a hunger for the word of God so that it can sustain us during life's tragedies and life's experiences. Help us to be great people of faith. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed as our piano starts to play a verse softly of invitation. I wonder this morning, would there be anyone here that would say, Pastor, if my time was over today and I passed into eternity, I'm really not sure I'd go to heaven. I'd be in trouble. I want to be born again. I want to know Christ in a personal way. I want to be remembered in prayer. The time for putting this off is over. Remember me in prayer this morning. Could I see your hand? Would you lift it up high? Anyone like that? Pray right there at your pew. Talk to him about any doubts that you have, whether real or imaginary. He will convince you. There'll be a young person here today and say, Pastor, I'm not living for God. I believe in Christ, but I'm just not living for him. He knows it and I know it. I want to rededicate my life to him this morning. I want people to see Christ in my life. I want to be remembered in prayer this morning, Pastor. I'll pray for you. Anyone like that this morning? Would be someone here and say, Preacher, I'm saved, but I've never been baptized. I'd like to follow the Lord in baptism. Would you pray for me that I would do that? Could I see your hand? Anyone like that? I'll pray for you this morning. God bless you, ma'am. Anybody else? Our Father in heaven, may your will be done this morning during this invitation. Lord, help our people to know that you are near and that we can call upon you anytime, but especially when you speak to our hearts. May your will be done this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn book, please. Turn to 579, 579. Our invitation is open. If you'd like to come this morning for any reason, any purpose, would you come as we sing 579. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Thank you.
us this morning on this last Sunday of winter. Next Sunday will be spring. We hope that you can make it back this evening for our dinner and our evening service. And I was just thinking about my snow shovel, and I don't think I'm going to put it away yet. I'm going to wait a little bit longer. Just a little bit. Last year I made that mistake. Amen. All right. Well, let's dismiss our service in prayer and ask the Lord to bless us as we go home and as we come back this evening. I hope that we can make it back tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the privilege of fellowship with the family of God.
Amen.
We thank you for the Word of God.
Amen.
Lord, we get defeated so easily. Help us to think about men like Job and men in our own church that have strong faith and people we know that fight the same battles, and yet, Lord, they are able to stand.
Amen.
Help us when we're weak. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And Father, if there still is anyone that doubts their salvation, help them to take you at your word. Give them the assurance they need, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you.
Yeah. Amen.